Hey folks, I know that each and every one of us have trials in our lives. And as we think about those things, sometimes they can actually get to the point where they just wear us down. Sometimes it even gets to the point where it makes us question our faith. It makes us wonder whether or not the Lord is really there in our circumstances and in our trials and in our tribulations. Well, the one thing that we have to know and understand is that our substance is not in who we are. Our substance is not in riches or lack thereof, but yet who we are is defined based on who we are in Christ. And we need to focus on the eternal rather than the things that are temporal. In just a moment, we're going to be taking a look once again at one of the seven churches at Asia Minor, the church of Smyrna that was faithful unto death. We're going to be looking at passages out of Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. So grab your Bible. We'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day has gone well and that your week is moving along nicely. Just a moment ago, I said that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Revelation chapter 2, that's particularly verses 8 through 12, as we take another look at one of the churches in Asia Minor that we read about in the book of Revelation. And this church is the church of Smyrna. Now, I said as we started our series that these seven churches are pointed out for a particular reason. They all have some qualities or characteristics, and some of those can be found in our churches today. Yeah, I mentioned as we began our study that as you look at each of these churches, you could probably take the church that you attend and put it into one of these categories of the seven churches. So, you know, I pray that as we continue to go forward, that it'll be one of the good categories. But it doesn't just reach into the churches, it also reaches into our lives. These same principles that apply to the church apply to each and every one of us in a personal way. So let's go ahead and take a look at our scripture, Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And it says and reads like this. It says, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and come to life. Verse 9, I know your works, tribulations and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Let's pray together as we begin our time today. Father, as we come to you again, we just ask that you would fill our hearts with every ounce of who you are. Lord, as we take these moments to gather around your word, I pray that you and you alone truly would be high and lifted up. Lord, speak to our hearts. You have a message for each and every one of us. And I just ask, Lord, that you would use me as your messenger for these moments that you might be magnified and glorified and that you truly might draw all men unto you. So, Father, again, we pray that you will bless our time as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So as we begin to take a look at our text today, one of the things that we always have to do, and I always encourage folks, use that method. Ask yourself questions and then prove them by the text. So one of the things that we look at in our text, we might ask ourselves, who is speaking to the church at Smyrna? And how is it that he is described? Well, in Revelation 2:8, the speaker is introduced as the first and the last who died and came to life. Now, I may not be the best theologian in the world, but I can pretty much figure out how or who that's talking about in that particular scripture text, because there's nobody else who has died and come back to life in the way that Jesus did, and particularly for our sins. So the speaker, chapter 2, verse 8, says, the first and the last who died and came to life again. Now, this description refers to Jesus Christ himself, highlighting the eternal nature. Now, think about that, the first and the last. And his victory over death, who died and came to life again, is what that scripture says. Now, this would offer comfort and hope to those who were the believers in Smyrna who were facing persecution and possibly even death. Now, I always have to go back and remind not only myself, but those who are readers of this as well, these are letters to the churches. These are people who are believers, those who are supposedly walking with the Lord and talking with the Lord. So they would fit right in the category of you and I today. Now, it's very interesting what we read about there. And when we think about this, just like the church at Smyrna, this particular verse should be very, very comforting to us. When we think about who we serve in Jesus Christ, he is the first and the last. He is everything in between. He knows each and everything about who we are. I love how the word says that he even knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows stuff about us we don't even know. So what a comfort that is when we have to walk through trials, trials, tribulations, and have to face persecution. And in the case of our scripture text, that was what was going to happen. But not only just persecutions, possibly even death. I mean, we know how they were back in those days of the Bible. I mean, when they got up against the Christian faith, they came at it three ways: hard, fast, and continuously. And part of the issue was that even happened by those who were supposed to be their own. Those that were called their own were the ones that came up against them. So today I want us to reflect on the eternal nature and the victorious power of Jesus Christ in our own lives. You need to constantly be thinking about that, particularly when the trials and the tribulations come. These are things that we can gather strength from as we face the persecutions, and particularly when we face serious persecutions. Now, when facing those trials, how does knowing that Jesus has conquered death provide you and I with assurance and peace? Well, that just tells us right there the power that he has. There is nothing that happens in our lives that Jesus doesn't know about, and there are no problems and no circumstances or situations that Jesus doesn't have the answer for, okay? So we need to always keep that in mind as we go forward, particularly as we get into times when we may face persecutions and we may face some tough times, all right? So as we continue to look at our text, what does Jesus know about the church at Smyrna based on what we read, okay? Well, Jesus acknowledges their afflictions and he acknowledges their poverty, okay? So this is not, the church that's wealthy monetarily. This is not the church that has all the pretty best of everything. It's not the ones that, have all the money to be able to do whatever it is that they want to do, as far as ministry or even the peripheral things that are around them. So Jesus is acknowledging that they're having and going to be having afflictions. He is also acknowledging that monetarily they are poor. They're not a wealthy church. Yet he declares them to be rich. He said, even though you're poor, being monetarily, yet you are rich. And that's talking about the spiritual side of things. Now, you and I may not be wealthy. We may know some people are. And you know what? Even as you watch this, you may be one of those people that God has blessed with monetary wealth. And that's great, as long as you're using that for God's glory and honoring him with all that is said and done. There's no problem with that at all. But he was looking at these folks, and these were folks who were poor monetarily. But yet he said, even though you don't have money, you're rich. Now, most of us kind of understand, that metaphor. We've heard it throughout life when somebody says, well, you may not have money, but you've got friends and you've got family and you've got all these things around you. So because you have those things, you are rich. And it depends on what perspective that you are looking at as to whether or not you might be rich or you might be poor. And that old adage is true. And that's exactly what Jesus was pointing out to the church at Smyrna as well. He said, you may not have money, but you've got me. You may not have the money to be able to purchase and do all these things and whatnot, but you've got me. And because you have me, then you're rich, all right? Despite their material poverty, the church is rich spiritually. I ask you this question today. Is that where you are? You may not have a whole lot monetarily, but are you rich in the spirit of our Lord? Jesus recognized their endurance under persecution as well as under false accusation. And I think that's one of the tough things. If you look throughout the Bible, there were times that false accusations were presented against not only churches, but those that were in the churches. False accusations were presented against the apostles. False accusations were presented against those who were church members, as it were, those that were following Jesus. Do you think it's any different today? I will guarantee you that most people that are watching this broadcast today, you at some point in your life have been falsely accused of something. And what you want to do is you want to vehemently defend your position and say, well, that's not true, and these things are not true. The part is, and what just kills us inside, is that there may be people that we know and love that are around us that believe those false accusations that have been made against us. And I'll tell you, that is a hurt. Now, remember what we were talking about here. Let's play this back into the church because that's what we're talking about. You know, despite material poverty, they were rich in the Lord. And Jesus is recognizing their endurance. And that's another huge word. Endurance means going the distance. He's recognizing their endurance, particularly amidst persecution and false accusations. They were not letting them that were making false accusations or persecuting them get the upper hand on them. They were not allowing them to determine their joy that was in the Lord rather than in the circumstances and situations around them. You know, you think about this this worldly poverty, and you make the comparison against the spiritual richness that emphasizes true wealth is found in faithfulness to God. And I want to say that again, because that's really one of the main thrusts of our Bible study today, is that true wealth is found in faithfulness to God. Now, there are people that are watching this broadcast today, and you're sitting back and you're a born-again believer, but you haven't really been as faithful to God as you should. You have allowed yourself to function in the spirit in certain areas, but you have allowed yourself to function in the world in other areas. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Those who are rich are the ones who are found faithful to God for the lifetime, for, you know, to have that endurance, to make it through, to persevere. And you've heard those words many, many times. So as we think about that thought for just a minute, where would you find yourself on that spectrum? You know, spiritually rich, monetarily rich? Are you persevering? Is your faithfulness truly found in God Almighty in this very day and age? Okay? Consider areas of your life where you might value material wealth over spiritual richness, spiritual riches. And all of us have those certain things. We're tempted in areas, and Satan knows exactly what buttons to push in each and every one of our lives. Yeah, he knows where our weaknesses are. It's frustrating, but yet he does. He knows that button, and he pushes it and pushes it and pushes it. As you consider your life, as you consider what the Spirit is telling you right now at this particular point, and you're viewing your life through the eyes of the Holy Spirit today, where are there areas that you might have value in material wealth over that of spiritual wealth? Okay? How can you shift your focus to prioritize spiritual growth and trust in God's provision over the things of the world that are calling us away from God? Yeah, I hope and pray that the Spirit is leading you in that particular area and what you need to do even now as we speak. Okay, so what's another thing that we can glean from our scriptural text today? All right, well, another question we can ask is, you know, what specific trials does the church in Smyrna face? Okay. Well, they experience slander from those who, according to the scripture, who say they are Jews and are not. And also a future period of imprisonment and suffering is foretold in these particular scriptures. You know, that's not what you want to hear, particularly when you're going through some tough times in your life. You certainly don't want somebody to say, well, let me tell you this, brother, it's just going to get harder. It's just going to get tougher. There's going to be more suffering. There's going to be more persecution. And yet this particular scripture tells us that they were being slandered by those who, notice what that scripture said, who say they are Jews and are not. Those who should have known the way, as it's called in the scriptures, those who should have known Christ, who became largely their biggest problem. I mean, think about it in the life of Jesus for just a moment. Who was it that gave Jesus the biggest problem? It was the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, those who were supposed to have been the one who knew what the Word of God said. And I want to interject something right here for just a minute. They did know what the Word of God said. The problem was they had a lot of head knowledge, but they completely missed Jesus. You know, I always like to go back to the Christmas story that most of us know, particularly when it's talking about that situation with King Herod when the Magi got to him, and the Magi went and they were looking for the newborn king. Well, you know, Herod hears this. Herod's the king. He doesn't want any competition along the way. And back in that day, if you had competition, what you did was you just went out, hunted it down, and killed it. Then no more competition. So, yet Herod played it. Yeah, he played it cool, as it were. And he told the Magi, "Well, y'all wait here. Let me go find out some information for you." So it says that Herod went to his wise men and asked where the king of the Jews was to be born. Now, here's the interesting part, if you've never thought about it. They gave him the right answer. They gave him the biblical answer. Yeah, he'll be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Yeah, right down the road. And they're like, "Oh, okay." And it wasn't that far at all. Notice those quote-unquote wise men of Herod, they never went that short hop down the road to Bethlehem to see anything about Jesus. They never went to prove or to see maybe if it truly was him. They had all of the head knowledge in the world, but it was not being applied in their lives. And that is something that often we find ourselves guilty of today when we're trying to do this thing called life, and we're not living in the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior. Okay? So as we look at what they were encountering, I mean, it tells us in the Word, they were encountering slander. Have you been slandered? I would be willing to say most of you have. But the question is, what did it do to you? Did it hurt your feelings to the point where it shut you down and Satan won? Or did it make you strive to even go further for the sake of Christ? Did it cause you to trust in his faithfulness even more than you had previously? So they were experiencing slander, and not just slander from those who didn't believe in their cause, but slander from those who did supposedly believe in their cause. And then the Word goes on and it tells us that there was even going to be a period in the future where they were going to wind up in prison and that they would be suffering for what they believed in. Now look, folks, both of us know that that's not anything anybody wants to sign up for. But what I love about the Word of God is Jesus never ever once sugarcoated anything. He told us how it was. And so I'm telling you today, to walk a faithful life in Christ is very difficult. And as you do it, persecution is going to arise. There are going to be slanderous comments that are going to be made against you. There are going to be false accusations that are going to be made against you. But is it more important for you to please those people who are making those accusations, or is it more important for you to please the Heavenly Father who knows the truth? You see, the reference to false Jews in this passage implies persecution from those who claim religious superiority or authority, but yet in the same manner do not truly follow God. Now, as I said that, some of you all probably had names or faces that came across your heart or your mind, okay? The future trials urge believers to be prepared for testing, to be prepared for the tribulations that are going to come, emphasizing faithfulness even unto death. Now, we know that most of the apostles died a martyr's death. They died for what they believed in. And, you know, one of the things that I always like to mention is that often we give Thomas a really, really tough time. You know, if I were to ask you, what is Thomas's nickname or what do we attach to his name, most of you would know that we call him Doubting Thomas, simply because of what took place after the resurrection and when he said, I can't believe until I touch the nail-scarred hands. And then we see how it is that Jesus dealt with him. Jesus went to him and said, you know, okay, Thomas, here you go. You can touch my nail-scarred hands. Not a problem whatsoever. Here's the key thing I want you to understand about Thomas. Even though Thomas had those doubts in that in the midst of the resurrection, once Jesus appeared to him, once he saw Jesus for who he really was, Thomas never ever doubted again. And in fact, Thomas went into glory believing in the Lord. It cost him his life, but never did he doubt again once he knew Jesus for who he was. Today, folks, I want us to know Jesus for who he really is, the one who is faithful, the one who knows all, the one who loves us, the one who is walking every step of our journey with us. So as we ponder these thoughts, I ask you today, is there anything that the Holy Spirit has brought up in your life in being able to identify any false influences or pressures in your life that challenge your faith? Now, I know some of y'all are sitting there going, well, how long do you want this list to be? Because most of us know some of those things in our lives that are pressuring us and that are challenging us in our faith on a day-to-day basis. So as you think about those things, how can you prepare spiritually to withstand future trials? You know what, you may have crashed and burned in the past on those things, but how can we make preparation spiritually to be able to withstand those things as they come up in the future? Because we said before, Satan knows what buttons to push, and he likes pushing that same old button. If he knows we have struggles in a particular area, he's going to push that button until he rubs the numbers off of it, as it were. So we need to just be more prepared as we go into the future. What is it the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart about how you can be more prepared for those particular things as they come up in the future, you know? And as you think about it, you know, what promise does Jesus give to those who remain faithful? Another question. He gives us some promises. What does he promise us in our passage today about those who will remain faithful to him? Well, Jesus promises the crown of life to those who remain faithful unto death and reassures them that the second death will not harm them. Okay, so what does that mean? The crown of life symbolizes eternal reward and victory for steadfast believers. And the second death is representing eternal separation from God, and that is something that will not touch those who trust in Christ. So that's just me trying to make it a good, simple, easy, you know, outline for you to understand. So just remember, the second death is that's eternal separation from Christ, and we know that as believers in Christ, we will not be separated from him. Yeah, eternal separation is those that will spend eternity in hell. They will be separated from God, who will reside in heaven and in the place that he has prepared for us. Okay, so let us think about this. In what ways can you and I cultivate a stronger perseverance in our faith? And we know what perseverance is. That means holding on, that being, you know, persevering through to the end. So in what ways can we cultivate a stronger perseverance in our faith? Okay, think about the promise of eternity with Christ and how it impacts your daily life, how it impacts my daily life, and how it should impact the decisions that we make and the priorities that we have along the way. So as you do that, and as the Holy Spirit deals in your life, I ask you, are those things in order in your life? Now, for some of us, we realize they're not, because the Holy Spirit has told us. So what we need to do is we need to make some adjustments there. And through the grace of God and through his word, through his help and his leadership and his guidance, those are some things that we can do. Now that the Holy Spirit has pointed them out, now that we understand them, we need to do something about it. We need to make application to the word in our lives as we go forward. Okay, so another question that we can glean from our text today is, what overall biblical truths can we derive from Jesus' message to the church at Smyrna? I think that's critically important. So what is the biblical truth that he's trying to teach here? Okay, well, faithfulness to Christ is of utmost importance. That is huge. That's walking with him, talking with him on a daily basis, even multiple times a day. Being faithful to Christ, that is of the utmost importance. That's what he is trying to get across to the church at Smyrna here, especially in the face of trials. So often what happens is people will walk with Christ, and as long as life is good, there's no problem whatsoever. It's wonderful to sing the praises of Jesus, but then what happens is when they get into the midst of the trials of their lives, all of a sudden they want to leave Jesus over here. They want to go out and do it on their own. And then sometimes even get upset with the Lord because they question, why am I here? Why are you not here? All the while he is. Oftentimes, the trials and tribulations that we have are his coming in our lives to be able to move us to where he wants us to be, or to grow us spiritually, to stretch our faith. I always love how a fellow described it one time. It was a Christian fellow who was a bodybuilder, and he would compare what he would do to the spiritual life. And he said, you know, he said, have you ever realized, he said, when you come in, you don't just start off with big muscles. You have to work up to that. That's that spiritual maturity that comes along the way. And then he said, the science behind growing muscle is that when you work it, you actually rip and tear that muscle, and then it repairs itself, you know, and it's even bigger. And each time you do that, the muscle gets bigger and bigger. Well, that doesn't come without pain. And I love what he said. His final thing was this. After he explained all that, he looked at everybody in that room, and this is what he said. He said, you know what? He said, if you're going to get strong, you got to pick up something heavy. And the same holds true in our spiritual walk. If we're going to become spiritually strong, we have to pick up something heavy. And the Lord's going to give us the heavyweight that we need to use, that we might grow in his grace, that we might grow in his trust, and that we might grow in our faith to him, that we might persevere to the end. You see, true spiritual wealth lies in enduring faith and the promise of eternal life. And that's exactly what Jesus was trying to get across to the church at Smyrna. Okay? So how do we make application to our lives and what we've learned today, these principles that we have learned from this letter to the church at Smyrna? Well, we need to embrace and nurture our faith in all circumstances, not just some, all circumstances. We need to remain steadfast, even in the midst of trials, because folks, listen, let me make you a promise. If you are following the Lord as you should, trials are going to come. It's not maybe, it's just when. They are going to come, and we need to remain steadfast in the trials, knowing that our reward is secure in Christ Jesus, okay? We also need to seek to deepen our spiritual understanding. How do we do that? You know, we need to get into God's Word. We need to be focusing on the eternal rather than the temporal outcomes. So many times that's what we see in life. People are focusing on the temporal things that are right in front of us. You know, when you look at it, when he was talking about the situation of wealth, wealth is temporal. You are not taking your money with you. You're not taking your home, your car, your 401k, your investments, or anything else with you. Those are temporal things that are going to pass away. So are we focusing on the temporal, or are we focusing on the eternal? And folks, that tends to make all the difference, okay? So as we make application this week, I'm asking you to choose one area of your life to focus on spiritual growth. Just one area this week to focus on spiritual growth. It could be through prayer. It could be through studying Scripture. It could be serving others. Whatever it may be, as the Holy Spirit leads you, I want you to concentrate on that one thing this week, that one area that you can focus on to develop spiritual growth in your life. Dedicate time each day to thank God for the spiritual riches that you possess. I didn't say worldly riches, but the spiritual riches that you possess, and ask for strength to remain faithful in the challenges to come. Can you do that? That's what I'm going to be praying for you as we go through this week. And I pray that God's going to do something pretty incredible along the way in your life. So as we think about these things, let me go ahead and tell you about what we're going to be looking at, or what our readings for this week are. This week, I want you to continue to study Revelation chapter 2. We're going to specifically look next week at verses 12 through 17 as we continue our series on the seven churches at Asia Minor in the book of Revelation. Next week will be Sermon 3 in our series, and it will be about Pergamos, the compromising church, out of Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. So be studied up on that. We look forward to having you with us for the Wednesday Bible study next week as we gather together. Let me see you off in a word of prayer. And again, I thank you for taking the time to join us today as we gather around God's Word. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, again, we are grateful. We are thankful for the fact that you never leave us. You never forsake us. Lord, help us to always know and understand that there are going to be trials and tribulations that will come. And Father, even though we may not be wealthy monetarily on this earth, you know, as we follow you, we find ourselves rich in Christ Jesus, rich in knowing you, rich in following you. So Lord, may we seek the proper kind of wealth as we go forward in this life. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to endure through the trials and the tribulations that we might be truly found pleasing in your sight. Lord, help us to understand that the true spiritual wealth truly does lie in enduring faith and in the promise of eternal life. So Lord, as we go through this week, continue to work on us, continue to help us identify what's going on in our lives. And then, Lord, may we truly offer up to you each and every trial, tribulation, circumstance that could hinder or bind us up in our walk. Help us to always understand and realize where it's coming from and that you have conquered Satan. You have conquered all of his tricks, and we need to just rely and trust in your grace. So, Father, give us a great week as we follow you, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, listen, again, I want to thank you for taking this time and this opportunity to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge. I want to extend to you a personal invitation to come join us for Sunday morning worship. We start our worship together at 10:45 a.m. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I would love to have you come join us and be a part of our services as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth, and I pray that God's going to richly bless you throughout this week. God bless you. Have a great week.